Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Have a great return back to the sport. I wanted to be able to come and perform. Having a month off, dealing with all I was dealing with. I'm not upset at myself at all. This is one race. I'm not done. You know what I'm capable of. Count me out if you want to. Talk all the shit you want. Because I'm here to stay. I'm not done. I'm the sixth fastest woman in this game ever. And can't nobody ever take that from me. Congratulations to the winners. Congratulations to the people that won. But they're not done seeing me yet.
That's Sha'Carri Richardson moments after finishing in the 100-meter race at the Prefontaine Classic Saturday in Eugene, Oregon. You know, she withdrew from the 200-meter race after that finish, but the criticism for her was less about her performance and more about her response to her performance. Well, tonight, we talk about that and more broadly the complexities of how we respond to losing in the public eye or otherwise. What is the best way to take an L? My guests are Sharmell McMillan, president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment, an entertainment and sports management company, and Bishay Williams, licensed psychotherapist. I want to talk about this. What do you think? Is there a more gracious way to take an L? Should you be gracious in losing? What do you think about what she said, how she said it? Are we paying too much attention to her because she is one of us? Do we expect too much from her? Do we expect too much of any of us these days as it relates to taking an L? Give us a call, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher WHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T Fisher. Sharmell, how are you?
How are you, Harold? How's things?
Things are interesting. They always are. Bishay, thank you so much for joining the conversation. Always good to have you.
My pleasure. Happy to be back.
So, Sharmell, let me ask you first, your reaction to Sha'Carri's reaction to her last place finish.
Well, I think it's important to first say, this is the industry in which I work. So I work with a lot of entertainers and sports figures for the past 26 years. And so I think there's a missing piece. You know, I can address what Sha'Carri said and how she responded, but losing feels horrible. I don't care if you're in the Olympics or if you're playing Uno or Spades. Losing doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good. And so, but when you're a phenom, when you become a celebrity, when you become world-renowned for what you do, then there's a thing called sportsmanship or grace. And that is something that needs to be taught. It's not something you automatically get when you become famous. And I think that's the misstep that the public doesn't quite understand. Oh, they have a platform now. Just because you have a platform doesn't mean that all of a sudden you know how to handle life things that you didn't know how to handle before if you don't have people in your corner who are grooming you. And grooming is the missing step from the baby to Sha'Carri, you know, because they're kind of one and the same. They're just out of sheer emotion in the moment, just saying stuff. But there's nobody probably in their corner saying, this is how you handle these situations. These are some missteps you don't want to take professionally.
And that's, I think that's one of the things that I wanted to get to. Because, you know, we see that not just in sports, but any person who has reached a high profile status. And I would imagine whether it is a Sha'Carri Richardson or whether it's an Oprah Winfrey or Mary J. Blige or I'm just listing women. It could have been Muhammad Ali. It could have been anyone, for that matter, who you trusted, who you respected, who could have pulled your coattail and said, hey sis, hey brother, let's take a step back. Is that commonplace in your industry? Is that your job? Is that is that Charmelle's responsibility?
Yes. There are times when I speak to clients, and oftentimes over the last, like I said, 26 years, hundreds and hundreds of careers, there is a time where you speak to them and you get them to a point where they understand the consequences of their behaviors. They understand that you can say what you want, but there's a consequence. So it may behoove you to take a step back and try to think of different ways to handle, from losing to public scrutiny, to controversy, to conflict. And sometimes, unfortunately, people don't have anyone in their corner who is speaking to them in a way where they understand the impact of what they do and say, you know, on the long term.
Bashay, talk to me about the psychology of losing, particularly in a case like this, where you have Sha'Carri Richardson, who, you know, she won big during the Olympic trials, and then of course she was disqualified because of the marijuana drug test situation. Then you had the situation with the loss of her biological mother, and I don't even want to get into the right or wrong of the marijuana thing. I mean, I don't care about that, but I'm just talking about she was just really, really riding high, and there was this expectation that she was just going to blow everyone away, and then those Jamaicans, they just came in, and they did the daggone thing.
Yeah, so in loss in general, there's like several different, there's common reactions to loss, and I think with her, what was said earlier, the biggest thing was the consequence. Like, she never had a consequence to what happened when she wasn't able to race. I mean, like you said, the world, we embraced her, the community embraced her, so she never really suffered the loss because she knew she had other opportunities coming in front of her. So now she's in this position of almost like shock or numbness or denial, where she's not even accepting the loss. She's already looking towards the next race. She's already saying that she won, in a sense. I'm here. I'm coming back. Y'all, this isn't the last y'all seen of me. And what I've learned and what I've worked with a lot of clients is anticipatory grief. And so she's already might have had in her head that she wasn't going to win this race, right? Because she had a lot of information about I was off for a month. She had all these things set up to be able to almost be scripted in her loss where she really didn't acknowledge it at the time.
You mentioned participatory grief. Drill down a little bit more about that. Is that a preemptive thing?
Yeah. So say like if you have someone who may be dying soon, maybe they're dying from a terminal illness, and so you're anticipating the loss of them. So you're kind of dealing with things ahead of time. Or somebody who's already in their head and they're saying, you know what, I have to go out there. I know I'm going to lose. So let me prepare my speech after that. So I really don't deal with the fact that I lost because I'm already preparing for my speech or preparing for something to happen after that. And sometimes we don't even sit with it. And so with that, that's what it seemed like it happened at that particular time. She didn't even sit with the loss of it. It was about, you know what, I'm happy, I'm here. You guys didn't expect me to be here. It was kind of this thing of just no acknowledgement of the race at all, as opposed to, you know, I'll be back. And congratulations to the ones who won. So there was really no identification and connection with the race itself.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You win some, you lose some, but is there a way to take an L? Should we be gracious in loss? Or is that kind of thing something of the past? Of course, we are talking about this because of what we've seen from track phenom Sha'Carri Richardson over the course of the weekend in her last place finish, and not so much the last place finish, but how she kind of reacted to it, and how for many of us, we may have faced a disappointment, whether it be in something that we may be competing for. It could be a job. It could have something to do with family or anything else. How do we address that kind of loss as it relates to something that we want? Should we be more gracious? Should it be expected of us? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. So, you know, Charmel, here's the thing. When you're talking about, you know, entertainment or sports figures, particularly those who have high aspirations, they have these dreams that they really expect to make it big. How do you manage that kind of, how do you manage those aspirations, particularly when you may have a comedian or an actor who on a particular night just bombs or does not perform particularly well? How do you deal with the loss? How do you deal with how they deal with the loss?
Well, one, you give them time to kind of be in a place where they can listen and actually hear you. And it also depends on if it's male or female, you know, because we have different listening styles, different communication styles.
Oh, wait a minute. Back up. I'm not going to let you skip. Wait. Let's talk about that. Do we have different listening styles? Go ahead. I thought I only had one psychotherapist on the show. Maybe I do have two.
Well, you got two, because you know my season premiere is coming up right after this. It is what it is, how men think. So men think differently.
Says you. Okay, so go ahead.
I didn't say anything wrong. They think differently, and they're supposed to. Okay. You know, but that's a whole different show. We'll do that another episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, call me later.
Yes, I will. The thing is, I think, you know, when you deal with taking an L on stage, taking an L publicly, you've got to think what that must feel like. You know, so my first thing is empathy before correction. You know, so I empathize with the fact that how it must feel to be on a platform, whether it's 20,000 people or whether on nationwide TV, and I've had clients mess up on both. And so you deal with the empathy, you offer empathy because you're now on a platform where people are watching you nationally, and you feel that pressure. But once they get past that, then you sit down and you talk about how can we improve upon this? Where were the missteps? You know, what was the point where we missed the mark? You know, and I always tell my clients when they start to focus on themselves, because that's really where pride comes in. You think it's all about you. It's bigger than you. Whatever you're called to do, whatever impact you're making on life, it's bigger than you. And so when you focus on the global impact and the fact that your bottom line is just being the best and doing your job and everything else is consequential in terms of how you perform and how you deliver what you do, then that changes the perspective. I also wanted to touch on briefly how there was a mention of anticipation of her loss. She should have anticipated her loss, because before I listened to her interview, I also looked back at her stats. Her personal best was 10.7. The winner was 10.54. And so even on her best day, not on a professional track, she only ran a 10.7. So unless she's been training extra hard since the Olympics, she should have anticipated losing, because all three of those Jamaicans ran way faster than her best personal best ever.
Yeah. And let's be clear, this wasn't tortoise and hare. Okay. We're not talking about seconds here. We're talking literally fractions.
But that matters.
Yeah.
When you're in that type, when you're running 100, when you're running the 50 or the 60, that matters.
Yeah.
Those split seconds are a mile apart, and it looked like it when you watched the video. It didn't look like it was a split second. It looked like what happened to her. Like, you could have run in that race. That's what it looks like to the common person. But we're really talking about split seconds, but it matters. And that's why they lean in. You know, when they're in the Olympics, they're leaning because that split second matters.
Mm. Yeah. So you were talking about that. That was the. I'm assuming you were talking earlier about men. So, so you didn't mention the women part, or
okay. Yeah.
Real quick.
No. Okay.
You hear this, Biche?
No, honestly, you know, men admittedly on my platform have said that they are more emotional than women think they are, and so they internalize it because it's their craft. Not simply because they're emotional. They work so hard and are so diligent on becoming the best or delivering or getting a certain really response out of people. And there's a vulnerability that's hard to manage when you build an entire career on the acceptance, approval, and love of people that you will probably never meet or never know. But that's what celebrities are. That's a whole different mindset. So you got to help them navigate that. And that's what I'm saying. So you're dealing with the female side, where women may internalize it for all different reasons. Men may internalize it, you know, because that's their craft, because they're working so hard, or because they feel like this is their ticket to whatever success they need to provide for themselves, their families, and things of that nature.
Hmm.
You know, so it may be two different levels of emotion and why they're being fueled.
Biche, I want to hear what you have to say about this. Also, April calling from Virginia. I want to know what you have to say. Beverly calling from Laurel. I want to hear from you as well. Please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. And I want to hear what you have to say. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR. Find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on WHUR.com, and you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone. You can hear the program live in its entirety. You won't miss a drop of it, I promise. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, 98.3 FM. We are talking about taking an L. How do you take a loss? Is there a more graceful way to do so? Do you care whether you take a loss gracefully? My guests are Sharmell McMillan, president and CEO of Shartown Entertainment, an entertainment and sports management company, and Biche Williams, a licensed psychotherapist. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Before I go to the phone lines, Biche, what do you think about what Sharmell was saying? She's off the hook today. I'm not sure.
I really love you too, Harold.
we go way back. I may have to take an L on this conversation with you.
AKA's in the house.
Yeah, well, that's a whole different conversation. Go right ahead, Biche.
I think it's interesting, right? It's a lot of good information that Sharmell definitely shared. And I think I work with a lot of men, especially in sports, out of sports, and just entertainers and just everyday common folk. So when I work with men, we talk about emotions. We don't necessarily have less emotions. We have reframed emotions, or we have shifted emotions. So because we're, like you said, we're groomed to be emotional in certain ways, or to be happy or mad. Those are the two that we are familiar with. So if we're feeling a certain way, we kind of shift it to find a way to repurpose our emotions. And so when we're looking at this, in this particular field, like, I have a lot of retired athletes or athletes who are trying to process, what are they going to do when they put the ball down? What are they going to do when they shift to another thing? And now they're stuck with all these different feelings that they can no longer release the way that they're used to. So now we're identifying what it feels like to be hurt. We're identifying what it feels like to be sad. We're identifying what it feels like just to, what that numb feeling is coming from. And so we don't have those escapes. But I think, you know, when we're talking about the athlete in this particular space of how do I lose gracefully, first of the thing, you got to acknowledge it, right? And then we get to decide what I want to do with it. Empathy was a good way of identifying that. But once you reach the client, then they get to empower them to say, hey, okay, so what are we going to do next? Mm. And we get to help them make the right choices on the next step after that.
Well put. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. April, calling from Virginia. April, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? April, are you there? April, are you there?
You mean Antoine?
Yeah, no, this is April. Is it April?
No, this is Antoine.
Antoine, I'm sorry about that. Please go right ahead. What's on your mind?
I'm just trying to figure out what's the double standard. You know, it's like there was no little upcry. We talk about Shakari, but are they talking about the men want to win 4x100 that didn't qualify and how they responded to
no.
the hell they took?
No, and actually, you know, this is, and I think that's a valid question. And I think here's, and you're talking about that baton pass, right? Is that what
and the L that they took.
Yeah. I think the reason why Shakari has garnered so much attention is because her light is so bright. And I think that you were talking about the 4x1 was it 4x100?
The 400, and then the brother that was supposed to be the brother was supposed to win the 100 that mm-hmm. didn't qualify. His comment at the end, no one's talking about that.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't even remember it. And what refresh my memory because I don't remember it, and I don't and I think to my point. Shakari's light was very, very bright when she came. When she came on the scene, there were people who were talking about how she, you know, in some cases, had the swag of FloJo, if not the same kind of grace. And I think that, you know, because she had garnered so much more, you know, attention, because she did have more swag. But, and so I think that was, you know, that was part of it. And not to mention, you know, the marijuana thing, the passing of her mother, you know, all of that.
But you had one of your speakers is talking about that she didn't suffer the consequences. She didn't make it to the Olympics. She did suffer. She took her out. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She took an L. She took two L's.
Well, I think it's not so much taking the L, but I mean how one takes it. And which brings me to another point, April. And I think one of the issues, I Antoine, forgive me. Thank you so much. Some would say that, you know, as it relates to, and gosh, now I've got brain lock.
Well,
let me answer that. Real
yeah, please go right ahead, Bichet.
She did not make it to the Olympics.
Who was putting pressure on her?
Hold on, Antoine. Go ahead, Bichet.
So you were mentioning that she took an L because she didn't make it to the Olympics. I get that, but imagine, look at the community, how they surrounded her. Look at the endorsement deals and everything that she got from that. She didn't even have time to sit in that L that we're talking about, because now we're talking about with this era of social media and everybody embracing her and loving on her, which was well needed, especially with what she was going on with suffering the loss of her mother. But you have to understand, when you're talking about somebody who's really taking and really dealing with the consequences of decisions, there is no success after that that's being celebrated. You don't get celebrated for not making it. In one hand, we embraced her and we picked her up and said, hold your head up. And of course, with all of that happened after that, now we're on the other side of it, and that's social media and that's different people's opinions and everything. But when I'm talking about the consequences, she didn't have time to sit in that consequence. She was embraced and celebrated the moment that she was told that she was no longer going to be able to run.
And I know what I was going to say now, Antoine. And when you compare her to, for example, Simone Biles, while she has had a longer career, when she decided to step back and deal with her own issues, she was also embraced. And this is, while it was not necessarily a loss, there was also an issue. There was something that she decided to deal with a sense of grace, and also under a great deal of pressure. You have two black women who were under similar forms of pressure, who dealt with those pressures differently. And I
understand what you're saying.
Okay.
But I'm trying to focus. It's like, why are we dragging our black sister?
But like I said, if you heard, we're not doing that, because as I said, this was a conversation more about how we address, how we deal with loss, because some of us deal with loss differently. Should we deal with loss differently? And you, for example, may not have a problem with how she deals with loss. You know, some people may say, okay, just let her do what she wants to do. And then, you know, Charmel may say, as a manager of sports professionals, as a manager of entertainment professionals, it's like I always say, when you talk to your doctor and you say to your doctor, it hurts when I do that. Well, Dr. Charmel says, don't do that.
Well, you know, yeah. She made a mess. She said a word. She said something that she shouldn't have said.
And that may be the lesson. But Antoine, I thank you for your input. I got to go to Beverly. Beverly, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, can you hear me?
I most certainly can. Go right ahead.
I appreciate you letting me comment. Basically, you know, I think back on when I was an athlete, a young athlete like her, and of course my light wasn't that bright, but I remember that it takes time to develop.
Mm.
And Simone has been on the scene for a long time. She's already a GOAT,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So how she might deal with the loss might be completely different from somebody just hitting the scene. And you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. You have people that love and adore you, and they're looking forward to you bringing home that goal. It takes time. You have to be patient with folks like her. She will deal with natural consequences. When I say that, if she continues to make missteps or she seems like she's being prideful, which, by the way, I do not believe she's being prideful. I believe she's being an athlete and she's trying to motivate herself. She's trying to put her best foot forward. I remember when I was playing basketball, one of the ways that I got myself motivated was to, you know, be strong, was to talk, you know, aggressively sometimes. It kept mm-hmm. me going. It was about me. It wasn't about anything else. It was about me trying to be the best that I could be. And that's what she's trying to do. Mm-hmm. If she can really learn, develop, and mature, then she can reach her full potential, no matter what that is. I don't care if it's never a bronze. I don't care about any of that. But what I do care about is a young black female going out there and trying to reach her goals, and we have to be patient with her. This dialogue is good because we have to learn how to support our people. And with her being, you know, when you talk about losing gracefully, that was her perception of gracefully.
Right.
You understand? My perception of gracefully at 51 years old is totally different.
So hold on. Wait a minute. We got a what they call a grown-a woman on the phone.
Okay.
If you will allow me, because you know what it is. You know, you said when you were an athlete, you may not be an athlete physically, or you may still be an athlete physically, but between your ears, you still are. Everybody gets a trophy now, Beverly. You know, when you lose, everybody gets a trophy. So you don't have to worry about losing gracefully. As a former current thinking athlete kind of person, performer, whatever you want to call it, isn't there, do you believe that there is a way that young performers, whether they are athletes, entertainers, academics, who aren't on the gridiron, on the track, who perform in school,
right,
must learn how to lose gracefully?
Okay, I totally see your point. She has a lot to learn.
Yeah.
I can tell that. I can tell by her interviews. I can tell by her demeanor. I can tell by how she presents herself. Because if she presents herself in a certain way, it's like she doesn't know how to play the game yet. You understand? Okay. She doesn't know how to play the game. Because if you play it right, you can go a long way. You don't have to get a goal to go a long way. Not in America.
Yeah.
But she hasn't developed those skills. So what she will need is she will need to open her ears and listen to those around her that can help her to get where she needs to be. Yeah, she has a lot to learn. She has to learn to lose, and she has to learn not to lose gracefully, because I think what it is she's just being herself.
Oh, okay.
You understand? She's just being who she is. Now, would we do it differently? Of course we would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we know better, yeah. Right? So if we give her the time to develop, and if she's willing to open her ears to listen to positive people around her, she'll go a long way. I really believe that. I don't think she's being prideful. She's being an athlete.
There you
and
go.
She's being a star athlete.
Beverly, thank you so much. I appreciate your grace in participating in this conversation. Bishay, what do you think about what Beverly shared with us?
Yeah, absolutely. As a former athlete, physically, would now have bad knees. I can't get out there. But there is a sense of really trying to be confident. And I think sometimes who people are on the outside looking in sometimes confuse having a sense of awareness or confidence with arrogance, right? But there's also a way to acknowledge your opponent in the same and use them as motivation as well.
What do you mean by that?
So I can, if I played, I guess one of the first times I played, I guess it was a one-on-one tournament, and the guy was like 6'9", I was like 6'1". And I knew the difference was size. I knew I was better than him in skill-wise, but he was just too tall for me. So I could acknowledge him and say, yeah, he was taller, right? And that was the only reason why he beat me. Or I can say, you know, good game, he won. I need to continue to work, and I need to work on different things because in the future, I'm going to face somebody taller than me. And so I need to find a way to still be the best player on the court. So while acknowledging him, but not, you know, not degrading him in a sense that, oh, you only won, you're really sorry, you only won because you're taller. I think there's a difference of acknowledging your opponent but still motivating yourself as opposed to belittling your opponent at the same time.
Is that a thing of personality, though?
Part of it is, but also like the lady was saying before that, grooming and having a conversation and learning what humility is, right? You still can be confident. You can be two things at the same time, and I think a lot of people don't really know what that really means or struggle to do that. I could be humble and still encourage myself at the same time. I could be saying that I'm struggling and still be confident at the same time. And so I can acknowledge both areas of my life or my thought process and say, you know what, I'm still going to do better, even though I'm struggling right now.
Maureen, calling from New Jersey. Thanks for calling, Maureen. What's on your mind?
Yep. I'm listening to the conversation. I think there's a couple things that we have not talked about. I mean, we're talking about losing gracefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about decorum, modesty, humility.
Yes.
But there's a part of this conversation that we haven't talked about, and that is, when we're talking about athletes, and certainly at her level, and she's given a mic immediately following the mismanagement of her pain by the Olympic Committee's decision to cancel her for a particular race that was really going to be highlighted in a staple race for her. We have not talked about what that means for her as it relates to other athletes and their response on a mic immediately following. So we talk about her emotionalism, right? Her adrenaline that's going, things like this. I think the way that we're describing her right now is very problematic. She is a person and a human being, and she had what we need more of, an authentic response to her circumstance. if she was a boxer responding on a mic to a fight she lost, she would have sounded that way. So what we're talking about is how she responded in the field of track. We're not talking about this in the context of her immediately coming off the field and having a response, what her pain and where her pain was, and then more specifically, how different people respond given the type of a sport that they're engaging in, and also just the authenticity of it all. I am holding and supporting her response. I think we want her to be in a box. I think we want to put her, you know, in a particular type of box that someone taught us we're supposed to, you know, a way in which we're supposed to respond. And I think her response was appropriate to her timing when they interviewed her, her situation, her circumstances. And certainly when I look at field and track, you know, she's coming off.
Okay, so... Charmel, because see,
Okay, well, I'll jump in. I've been listening, and there's a couple of things that I've heard from the past few callers, and there's a... If you need feedback, Carol, am I good?
No, please go right ahead.
Okay, great.
Because I only have you for 5 more minutes, and so, you know, I am looking for jewels and nuggets from you.
Okay, let me try to drop some. First of all, Sha'Carri, like a lot of the young phenoms, is impulsive, reactive, and she doesn't know how to respond in the age of generation difference. There's a generation gap. And one of the callers spoke to that. And they said, you know, well, if you're this age, then you respond this way. If you're this age, then you respond that way. And so I think that it's not going to hurt her. I know it's not going to hurt her career, because we live in the age of sensationalism, not traditionally what generations think in terms of bowing out gracefully or losing gracefully. That's not where we are. So it's really going to help her career, however she responds, as long as she's raw, reactive, and people are going to say she's just being herself, because that, we live in the age of sensationalism. The people that need to show grace is the public, because the public is in cancel mode all the time. I think there was a clip I saw earlier today from Dave Chappelle, and he was doing impressions for the audience. He said, guess who this is? This next one. This is going to be hard, so you have to pay attention. And he starts to talk about, if I ever see you do something wrong, if you ever do something I think you shouldn't be doing, I'm going to end your career. I'm going to cancel you. He said, who is that? And so they were trying to guess. He said, it's you. It's how I steer the audience. And so that's what happens. There's a bandwagon thing that social media has given legs to, where people love a good bandwagon, they ask questions later. So when with the Olympics, the bandwagon emotion was, you know, oh, poor her, she lost her mom. Oh, she smoked weed. Everybody smokes weed. And then as soon as she lost the race and she wasn't the winner, they're like, oh, she doesn't know how to respond to losing. She needs to calm herself down. Bandwagon. But it's going to help, because she had a raw, impulsive response. And they are going to use that to continue to propel the sensationalism that's going to carry her right to the next race, and also bring in that money.
So, Maureen, I have there are two things about what you said. You know, on one hand,
did you call me Maureen?
Is that...
No, he's talking to me, Maureen. I'm Maureen, yes.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were talking to me.
Yeah.
But I'm saying yes.
Yes. Please, Charmel, settle down. Please. I've already gotten one person's name wrong today. This is... My producer is out today.
I know how the nukes do.
Wow. Well, that's another conversation. Maureen. So here's my thing about this. And this has been one of the running conversations that we've had, whether we're talking about Simone Biles, Naomi Osaka. Now we're talking about just, you know, mental health, in just, you know, just the whole bit. And, you know, I think on, and all of these people are young. Let's not get it twisted. Some younger than others, some older than others. Whether, you know, if you're talking about, you know, the guys in the NFL, they are big physically. These guys are in their early 20s. You know, a lot of these new guys, you know, these first and second year guys, these guys are young. Let's be honest about that. So, and there's some veterans in the, but let's just talk, these are young people. And here is my thing. I think that, and these are the jobs that they've chosen. And I think that as we saw with Sha'Carri Richardson, she withdrew from the 200. That was an option that she chose. You said that they mismanaged her pain. She didn't have to go to Oregon. She could have continued to stay home and heal. Okay. So that was an option that she chose. She is who she is.
Think long before that.
Say again. Mm-hmm. Say again.
Long before that, they knew her circumstance, her situation.
About the U.S. Olympic Committee. Now we're talking mm-hmm. about that. That's a completely different organization, mm-hmm. And as I said, yeah, Simone Biles is older, but she's only like 4 years older. Yeah, she has people who have handled and done, you know, what have you. But she did what a lot of people would suggest that Naomi Osaka or Sha'Carri Richardson should have done, where she said, I got to pull out of this because I need to deal with my own.
Isn't it clear that they haven't given her the script yet? Isn't it clear?
But that's my point.
So it's not on her, I think, to...
Yeah, well, you may be responsible for your own health. You know, I do agree that these are learning situations, and there will be growth. But first of all, I've got to say goodbye to Sharmell because she's got a new program this evening. You know, I salute you, Sharmell. Hats off to you. We will be, you know,
pink and green. We're living for that. I'm with you.
Yeah, I am saluting you, sister. We're going to have a long conversation about
that. Don't exhale.
I have a long conversation with you about that as well. But Sharmell, we'll be talking soon. But thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. But I think to Maureen's point, I think this is a learning process. This is the job that you've chosen, and I think that at some point, there are things about our jobs that we don't like.
More than that, there's something called onboarding.
Okay, explain that in the last few minutes. Go ahead, make your point.
Yeah. So particularly in corporate spaces, but in most employment spaces, there's something called onboarding, which means that you go through a number of different people on different levels in the company to acclimate you to the new environment, to tell you not just where the coffee machine is, but how to use the coffee machine. There's onboarding, and it's clear to me that she is very young and new in this space, and she certainly came into this space from a different entry. Her entry point has been different than other athletes.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So all of that has to be taken into consideration. And so to put the blame on her and to say that she was wrong.
I didn't say she was wrong. I'm saying that this is a learning process. I think, I'm not saying that she's wrong. What I'm saying is that we are responsible for our decisions. And after the 100, she made a different decision not to do the 200. Was not withdrawing from the 200. Was that a mistake? It's not for me to judge.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So.
there's a lot of learning, right? I think that's where we both agree. We all agree that there's still a lot of learning to take place, not just for her, but for her community, her tribe, and then also for the larger audience. There's a lot for all of us to learn. And I hope that all of this moves the dial on how we see and understand what we call sportsmanship.
I think that's an excellent point, because as I said to Barbara earlier, I don't believe that everybody needs to get a trophy.
Mm-hmm. I remember you said that.
I don't believe that. Bashe, did you get a trophy when you lost?
Absolutely not. No, I did not. I had to work until I can get earn one. And like you said, the times are different now, and everybody gets a trophy just for participating. So I think we need, as she continues to grow and mature, get the right people around her, allow her to have the space to really heal and experience what she's going through. Because, again, people turn on you real quick, especially when you're in the public eye. Everybody sees what's going on. They see you're at your highest and your lowest, and they play on both sides.
Yeah. But I think the one thing that may be missing in all of this is that there's so much attention on her, at least particularly in the black space, is because I really do believe that black people are pulling for her and they want to see her succeed, and not just succeed by inches, by fractions of segments, fractions of seconds. They want to see her succeed in spades. They want her to blow up. They want her to evolve into something big and beautiful. And I think that is the thing that everyone is looking for. Bashe, thank you so much. I really appreciate you participating in the conversation. We also want to thank Charmel McMillan for joining us. And Maureen, thank you so much for chiming in as well. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, August 24th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.